Penn Station is turning up the heat. Introducing the Ghost Pepper Cheese Steak. Grilled fresh with premium steak and fiery ghost pepper cheese. It's craveable, bold, and only here for a limited time. Pair it with Penn Station's famous fresh cut fries and fresh squeezed lemonade for the ultimate flavor hit. Available now through November. Get it before it vanishes. Visit Penn Station today or order on our website or app for delivery. Penn Station, love your sub. You craving what I'm craving?
The go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Price and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
Tonight, it's the biggest night of the year for podcast fans. Our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards.
These are really some of the best and brightest and smartest and most compelling minds in the country.
Celebrate the podcasts we've leaned on for laughs, headlines, stories to get our adrenaline pumping, and voices to comfort us.
This is a huge honor.
We did it!
Thank you to my listeners, because without them, this wouldn't happen.
Don't miss our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards. Watch on iHeartRadio's YouTube and Facebook, and listen on our iHeartRadio app tonight at 9 p.m.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
And welcome to episode number 31 of the LSR podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gaming industry. I've got with me Dustin Gawker. I've got with me Adam Candy. And we are going to run through all of the news this week and some news that just came down right before we get to taping this podcast that will change the face of gaming yet again here for as we add another state into the fold here. Guys, before we get going here, I want to say that we are welcoming in all of our new listeners. Appreciate you guys that are just finding the podcast for the new distribution channels that we have going on. So please subscribe, rate, and review any of the platforms that you're listening on. We appreciate each and every one of you guys, and the 5-star reviews are certainly the best for us here at LSP Report if you want to follow on the Twitter machine. Dustin, let's get things up and going here. We have, I mean, this was something you kind of, you guys at LSR were on top of yesterday, but it is official. We have a new state in the fold.
Almost official, I'll say. Governor still has to sign it, but Michigan is going to legalize just about every form of online gambling on the planet, including sports betting, online poker, online casino, even daily fantasy sports, which wasn't actually illegal in Michigan. But the Senate and House are passing, even as we speak, all of that legislation. Governor is expected to sign it as soon as next week. And then, yeah, sometime in 2020, it appears we will have online gambling of all sorts in Michigan. So if you're in that state, rejoice.
How did this come about so quickly? I mean, I know that we have been keeping in touch with Michigan. We have a great source there. And you guys at LSR have had tons of interviews and certainly have gotten a bunch of opinions here. But this seems to have come about pretty quickly here.
Yeah, I think a part of it is because they did a lot of the heavy lifting last year. If you remember correctly, Michigan actually passed sports betting last year. They've been working on online gambling in parallel for a while. It passed it all the way to the governor, who actually ended up vetoing it. Fast forward to this year, new governor, a key state senator who's been on gaming issues, Senator Hurdle, and that's in Michigan, actually knows the governor, and it seems really kind of smooth the way for the governor to be okay with everything that's going on here. So everybody got on the same page. It still came together pretty quickly. You're right. I don't think we had a great sense that this was actually going to be a done deal this year. I think a lot of us were thinking next year, but everything did come together. Legislature's wrapping up, and looks like the law will be signed and delivered before Christmas.
Adam, we have, you know, kind of ranked these bills. Of course, we're happy when anything gets passed. We say, you know, it's better to have something than nothing, and you can always change how the things are structured and how things are worded. It's just the getting over the hump that we are always kind of waiting on. But how do we like this bill? How do you shape this thing up? What do you give this as far as if you were grading this thing?
I would give this bill a pretty solid A- to B+. I mean, there are a lot of things in here that I think are going to encourage growth in Michigan. I mean, you're obviously dealing with an enormous population, sports crazed in terms of pro and college. You're looking at a tax rate of 8.4 on adjusted receipts. That's right in line with what we've seen in other successful jurisdictions, like that's New Jersey's retail rate. You're talking about $50,000 for the initial application, $100,000 for a license fee, $50,000 renewal. So that makes a lot of sense. One internet sports betting platform per operator. Again, we've seen that as something authorized in Colorado recently. You know that New Jersey obviously allows for up to three per operator. So that's a little bit more of an open model. But this is certainly a bill that overall I think that the sports betting industry is going to line up behind and say if we could get this in other states, we'd be pretty happy.
And I guess it doesn't go without saying here. I mean, we do have, you know, we do have Ohio bordering Michigan as well. I mean, Toledo is right there on the border. So that would be a very quick drive for them to kind of get a little bit of that business, as well as Ohio still sits out there and lets all of its bordering states legalize while they do not have anything. So I'm sure Michigan will take advantage of that as well. Dustin, I think one of the things we should point out, I mean, people who have longtime listeners of the podcast are well aware of how online poker works and that it's not going to be like the heyday from, you know, a dozen years ago. But I think we should go ahead and point out that, you know, with the way that poker is currently operated, it is basically, you know, it is basically just within the state's borders. They can do some sort of compacts and whatnot, but it's certainly not like, oh, there's going to be on internet poker, and if I'm living in Detroit, I can think that I'm going to start playing the Sunday Million on PokerStars again.
Right. That's the one. That's what we always fight against. People don't seem to realize, like, oh, online poker legalized in Michigan does not mean, yeah, you're playing against the rest of the world, that you're suddenly back in the online poker heyday pre-Black Friday or even after that. You are going to be only playing against people in Michigan if you play online poker. And there's right now, as we're reading it, there's some question whether they can even compact with other states, like you see New Jersey, Nevada, and Delaware. They all compact together to allow players across state borders. Pennsylvania has not yet joined that, even though they have online poker as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of questions there. Back on the sports betting piece, I'm with Adam. It's a pretty good bill. I mean, I think we're constantly against the official league data part of these sports betting bills. That's in this, but it's better than a quote unquote royalty fee, where you're just paying the sports the sports leagues for existing here. You're paying them or making sure that you're using real data that's approved by the leagues, which, again, we constantly battle about whether that's really needed or not, but that's in there, so not great. The online casino, the taxes are pretty high as well. Online poker, they're higher than sports betting. The taxes there are pretty reasonable for sports, but higher for a casino, not quite as bad as Pennsylvania, which we always talk about on here too. So there's a lot to like in here. And again, like Adam said, there's lots of possible operators. There's three commercial casinos, 23 potential tribal casinos that could be involved, and we don't have a whole lot of sense of how this will all shake out for partnerships, but it does look good, at least for having some robust competition.
And yeah, I probably should have included that caveat in there as to why I was giving the bill a B+, is because of that official league data. That's definitely the one piece that I don't think operators are going to feel particularly good about, because those have been handled much better through commercial agreements than through legal mandates.
Yeah, that's the crazy part about this, is that we've seen this work commercially, right? There's not really a need for mandating it via a state law. Like, just about every operator is doing these deals when they're doing some kind of robust in-play product. So it's kind of like almost archaic. It's just, you know, again, I think the leagues just want some intellectual property measure in there that says, hey, you got to do this with us, or they're getting some kind of win out of it, at least, I guess.
And Adam, for our listeners in Lansing and people listening in Kalamazoo and over there in Ann Arbor and Grand Rapids, I assume, and we don't know, it's obviously very, very early here, but just the way things are laid out, they can assume to probably see a good bit of the brands that we are seeing, let's just say, in New Jersey, these brands that have kind of started to establish themselves as the market leaders.
You will see some. There's no question about that because of the inclusion of the one internet sports betting platform per operator. You know, Michigan has 3 commercial casinos, 23 tribal casinos. You obviously are not likely to see the mobile aspect when it comes to the tribal casinos. Those are entities that do not feel particularly good about mobile. They want people on property. But yes, you can expect that the major brands that you've seen elsewhere, the DraftKings and FanDuel of the world, should be involved in this.
And the one you can lock up is MGM. They have one of those 3 casinos that are in Detroit. So we know they will be in there with they already operate online sports betting and online casino in New Jersey, have plans to do that everywhere where they can. And that'll be a big part of their what they want to do in Michigan as well.
And doesn't, as we've seen with a bunch of these states that have, you know, passed bills and launched, and every time they throw out any sort of date, I can only assume that the target date for Michigan would be at least sometime before football season in 2020, right?
Yeah, given everything we've seen in other states, like, I don't think we're going to see instantaneous that you're going to be betting before the Super Bowl, especially not online. I find that hard to believe, but it does seem like sometime in 2020 it would be a reasonable timeline to say we'll have some sort of online betting in Michigan live.
All right, Adam, let's take a look here at, I mean, we love numbers here on the podcast. The numbers are something that we always love to bring up to our listeners. And I mean, because frankly, these numbers have been pretty crazy. I mean, they've gotten real big, real fast, all over the place here. And we have hit a milestone as far as betting revenue.
We did just hit the $1 billion with a B mark in sports betting revenue since the fall of PASPA. And for anybody who's new to the podcast, you mentioned some of the new listeners we might be bringing in. It's important to understand the difference between handle and revenue. We hit the $1 billion mark in handle quite a long time ago. But in terms of revenue, the amount that has actually been earned and the amount that we're basing the tax that comes into states off the legal sports betting, then this is what we're basing it on. So the $1 billion mark, and that's with a market across the country that is so very far from mature. I mean, you're looking at only New Jersey really being a full mobile market at total maturity. Pennsylvania is really still ramping up to get to that point. And of course, you have the old granddaddy of them all with Nevada.
Dustin, I guess it's important to point out here that the majority of that number is coming from Nevada and New Jersey, as Adam mentioned, kind of the two biggies there. I mean, that is, it looks to me on my quick math here, looks to be like right at or well over kind of 3/4 of that number.
Yeah, that's a big part of it for sure. I think we're right around 800 million of that 1 billion is coming from Nevada and Jersey. Also important to note that this is mostly online. You know, we already see most of these states where online is getting live, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, where, you know, 60, 70, 80% in any given month can be coming from online. Nevada, a little bit, we don't have the exact data. We understand certainly, you know, 50, 60% somewhere in there, less open market than others. But so much of this handle and revenue is coming online. And that's why, you know, you look at states where Michigan, like if you're only passing bills that allow or laws that allow for land-based sports betting, you're really missing the boat. You can see on our list of states, so when you go to the revenue page at LSR, if you only have retail sports books, you're not doing very well in terms of revenue.
We'll drop the link to that page in the description here if you want to take a look at that page on LSR. So be sure and take a look at that. We'll have the revenue page link in the description below. So it's pretty interesting stuff. I mean, I was actually just scrolling through as you were talking. I mean, just to kind of see the leaps and bounds that the revenue has grown just in New Jersey alone, it kind of makes you wish we would just send this revenue page out to all the lawmakers across these other states and say, hey, do you see how this has worked over in New Jersey? Maybe you should take a look at this and just kind of go about it this way. I mean, we're talking, you know, going from, you know, revenues of 23 million in September of 2018 to 46 million in October of 2019. I mean, just absolutely staggering the differences in the revenue in especially over in New Jersey.
Yeah, New York with a whopping 5 million of that with their four commercial casino sports books and no online betting. No better example of that than New York, where you're just not going to see much revenue that anybody cares about unless you legalize online.
Adam, we have talked about Rhode Island several times here on the pod. Some good, some bad. It seems like we're heading back towards the bad here.
Well, in Rhode Island, the biggest issue that we have is that mobile is not really mobile, because Rhode Island began its law last year and immediately saw that just having retail sports betting at the two Twin River casinos was not going to cut it. I mean, there are stories anecdotally of folks barely able to get their wagers down because the demand was so high. So, to the Rhode Island legislature's credit, it came back this year and approved mobile sports betting, but it's still put an in-person registration requirement on that. So, looking at the October handle for Rhode Island sports betting, you see that it grew to $28 million. That's fantastic. Mobile handle did grow. It still only accounts for 20.7% of all of handle in October. Now, compare that to New Jersey, where it's at 85%, Pennsylvania, where it's over 80%, and you see that the requirement to activate your account in person is really slowing down Rhode Island. Let me give you some more numbers that go along with that. There have been a total of 17,199 registrations on the sportsbook app that's operated through the Rhode Island Lottery. Of those downloads, 7,834 people have actually gone to the casino to complete their registration process. So just about 45% of people have completed the process. That's highly inefficient, and you're talking about thousands of people who could be wagering, who's obviously shown the initiative to download the app, not actually going to the casino to finish the in-person requirement. So, you know, it's another example of what we talk about how robust the Know Your Customer checks really are online these days, how it's worked just fine in New Jersey up until this point, and how it's worked for Pennsylvania as well. So, you know, Nevada continues to have that requirement for in-person sign up. That certainly slows down its mobile handle, and we're seeing it to an outsized degree in Rhode Island.
Yeah, you know, Dustin, I think, you know, we keep beating the drum for this, but I think one of the things that we really need to point out is, in Adam's stats right there basically show it. It takes out the spontaneity and any sort of just kind of like on a whim sign up. Like, someone might be watching the game and go, man, I would really actually like to bet on this game, or that, you know, they see the commercial that Sunday Night Football is about to start and they go, oh, you know what, I'd really like to do that. They download the app, they get ready to go, and they're like, oh, never mind, I've got to go to the casino here. We're so accustomed to being able to do every single thing online. I purchase basically 95% of the things that I own in life now online. Amazon makes a delivery to my house pretty much like 7 days a week at this point. You know, I mean, we're sitting there. So we're so accustomed to being able to just put our information in real quick, buy something or purchase something or sign up for something or whatever it might be online. And it seems like with those stats Adam just put out there that, yeah, I mean, this is what people want to be doing. It seems like they have shown that, oh, I'm going to bet on this, or I want to bet on this. I don't think there's a lot of people who are just downloading the app just to browse around. Do you?
Yeah, not so much. They want to do it, and then they say, oh, well, I can't actually do this. Just think about, yeah, what you said, the culture we live in today. Like, so you say it's not such a big deal to go drive to casino, but yeah, we think about if all internet commerce depended on you going to a physical place to create an account. That's just nonsense logic to me. Like, there's no reason that you should be going to a sports book or a casino to actually sign up for an online sports book. That's just nonsense. Like Adam said, KYC is just fine. You don't need to validate people in person. You can do it virtually just as well. So it's just an absolute idiocy to be doing that still in year 2019. The other part of this is, you know, as a part from the in-person reg, is just that Rhode Island, again, is a monopoly run by the lottery through these two casinos. And I think that's an example of, oh, Rhode Island says, oh, we have a monopoly, we don't have to try that hard, people are just going to get to our sports betting product. That's not been a recipe for success at all. Clearly, they're not really, you know, in other states, everybody's really aggressively marketing their products. The competition is increasing how much people are betting and how many people are actually signing up. In Rhode Island, you have none of the momentum. So I think the other piece of this is the monopoly that's just not really driving any kind of real meaningful traffic to Rhode Island. I know Rhode Island's a small state, but you're not that far from Boston. 8,000 people is just a ridiculous number, even in a small state as Rhode Island.
Yeah, I mean, the monopoly thing is so incredibly huge. And basically what it does is it stifles innovation, right? I mean, there's no reason to make anything better, make things work better, make things function properly, give competitive, whatever it might be, bonuses and all this stuff. I mean, that is why, I say it so incredibly often, but I mean, I sit back and look at what's going on in Pennsylvania and what's going on in New Jersey with so much envy, because there is an incredible amount of competition that's going on to get you to not only sign up for these sites, but also retention. I mean, they are giving you, make this bet and we'll give you $10 in credits for this bet and whatever. And that's not just for new signups. That's even after you've signed up. And so they're trying to keep you on board. They're fighting for your business. And when there's no one else in the sandbox there, then there's no real reason for that.
Yes, same things happened to me here in Oregon. Like, I like the product, I like to bet, and I'm going to continue to bet. But there's zero sign-up bonuses, there's zero retention offerings, there's not a whole lot in the way of marketing. I'd say it might be better than in Rhode Island, but there's a lot. Like, again, Oregon monopoly, run through the lottery here, and it's the same thing. Like, I think you're just not poised for success if you're not actively trying to get people to use your product. And again, competition and those kind of offers, and yeah, you're just gonna lose people by impetus if you're not actively trying to retain them.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And I think some of these states, maybe along the lines, it might take a while, but they will certainly begin to kind of see that that's the case. Adam, more numbers here coming out of Indiana for the month of November.
So now let's talk about a state that seems to be understanding how a good mobile market should work. The state of Indiana saw its sports betting handle jump 60% last month to $147 million in November. And why is that significant? Because $96.2 million of that money came from mobile, 65%. Keep in mind, Indiana launched barely before NFL season this year. So not only do you have statewide mobile in Indiana, you also have retail locations within a short drive, and I mean like a 20 to 30 minute drive, of Chicago. So you can be from Illinois over the border to Indiana to place a mobile sports bet or a retail sports bet as quickly as you would like to. So I think you see where a very robust mix of retail and mobile has the potential to work well in the state of Indiana. And this is a bill that I believe the industry had a pretty good amount of influence in getting it written and getting it passed. It was a tricky passage this year for this bill, but the market is certainly bearing out the fact that there's a big appetite in Indiana, but there's an even bigger appetite in the city of Chicago, where Illinois passed this very serpentine sports betting law that is going to take quite a while to shake out. And for now, those bettors appear to be going to Indiana.
And I know that you were, as this passed, I know you were definitely a fan of this. And certainly I think that we all kind of saw how this would definitely affect that state, that a city as big as Chicago and as close to the border as Chicago would kind of play into this. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we're getting the actual, amount of people that are from Chicago that are going across the border there. But just anecdotally, seeing and talking to people seems like it is just an enormous amount of people.
So I can give you the retail numbers that kind of bear this out, because Horseshoe Hammond, which is the casino that's less than 20 miles from downtown Chicago, had the most retail handle with $13 million. And that was by far the most successful book. So the other interesting piece of this, the second most successful book in terms of retail, was Hollywood Lawrenceburg, which happens to be less than a half hour from downtown Cincinnati. So you're feeling it on the other side from Ohio as well.
And in Ohio, we're going to, as we said, Toledo people are going to be heading to Michigan. So they're just going to be sending people out of state left and right in order. And
I'm really impressed with Matt's knowledge of Midwest geography. Honestly, he's just ripping off city names like he's lived there all his life.
It is, guys. Listen, here's the thing with all of with all these maps and things that are going on with all the sports betting stuff. I am having to familiarize myself with an area of the country that I fully admit and was completely lost in. I mean, I know the West pretty well. I know the East, certainly know the South. But man, that whole area where everything is going on right now, I had to do a deep dive into where what states border which and what where cities are located within states and all that. I am at least somewhat up to date on kind of where that is. But don't quiz me because I would probably still fail.
Yeah, I am seriously impressed with the amount of where in the world is Carmen Sandiego you played over like the last year just to get up to speed on this.
I'm trying, guys. I'm trying. Listen, I might not know all the ins and outs of all of the laws like you guys do and all of the bills, but I'll do my part by keeping people up to speed on where these cities and where people are located going on here.
We need a Carmen Sandiego drop in there. Get that in there.
There we go. There we go. We'll have to get the world. Everybody played that game, by the way. We all played that game, right? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was like
we don't need to drop now that Dustin's saying it.
I just sang it. You can just record that and just put it in every time.
We'll keep that one. We'll just play that all the time. Dustin, talk to us about Missouri.
Yeah, legislative effort back on the table there. It's notable in that we have seen the return of the integrity/royalty fee that the leagues want. This has been the worst policy decision that anybody's tried to make. Luckily, nobody has actually passed a law that has a percentage of handle or of revenue going to the leagues just for existing, which is what this is. Every time we see it crop up, it's basically been beat down every time a league gets it introduced via a lawmaker. So I don't have a problem with, again, I don't think I have a huge problem with leagues getting money if they're providing something in return. The royalty fee, you know, continues to be, give us money for existing. Sports betting wouldn't happen without us. Like, okay, great. But like, that's the same as just giving, it's just a private tax that has no bearing on anything. So it angers me that we're still seeing this. You know, I don't know what the prospects of it are in Missouri. I would like to hope that this will die eventually. We're going to see it again in New York. It was part of legislation that seemed to have widespread support before it didn't actually make the final cut last year. We'll see it probably resurface again, but the league's still looking for that first victory on integrity/royalty fees.
Boy, we think it's just going to go away, right? I mean, it just pops back up some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. You think how many losses the leagues have taken on this? You think they just quit, but they want it so badly. They don't even care about the money. The money is a piddling amount of money to them. They just want
to win.
They want to win, and they want people to say, "Oh, there's intellectual property in our games, and you have to, if you use our games for any other secondary purpose, you should pay us for it." That's what they want.
Man, this is just something we will continue to have to deal with, I'm sure, all through 2020 and maybe even into 2021 and 2022. But I at least these states so far have held relatively strong with all of this, and we're not having to kind of like have to really deal with all of that like every single time we talk about a new state. So hopefully Missouri is not going to fall to that here. And finally, let's wrap things up with talking about Tennessee. And Dustin, this was something you brought to our attention that came through, I guess, at some point today. I was pretty taken aback by this. It seems like somebody was not well informed along the way when they were putting this together.
Yeah, I can't see you right now, but I presume you're having a twitch in your eye as you read this. There's a draft Tennessee sports betting regulation about parlays that says, you know, I'll quote this: if there is a tie push in one event of the parlay, one leg would be unsuccessful. Therefore, the parlay would be deemed a loss. Now, all of us here who have bet parlays and are experienced bettors realize that this is not at all the standard in how parlays work. If you push any of them or they're canceled, then they just are taken out of the parlay. You get the reduced payout. So this would be a pretty crazy way to handle parlays in Tennessee. We're hoping that cooler heads will prevail and that they'll get with the program of how parlays companies usually work, but to see this in their regulations is a sign that something is going wrong there.
Now, Adam, there's like a little known fact that if you know that here in Nevada on teasers, well, if you play a teaser, and this is actually just the opposite of what we've got going on here in Tennessee. If you play a teaser in Nevada and one leg of your teaser pushes, even if you lose the other leg, it is a push. So because according to Nevada law, there's no such thing as a one leg teaser. So therefore, the bet never could have possibly taken place if one of the legs pushes. So there's no such thing as a one leg teaser. And so like you can actually lose one side of your bet and still push your bet here. And now we're seeing Tennessee coming here and trying to say a parlay where, I mean, if you push and then win would still equal a loss. Like, Adam, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that somehow, some way that this is going to get changed.
I would like to join you out on that limb, except all of the branches in Tennessee seem to break way too easily. This has been one of the weirdest and worst processes for putting together a bill that we've seen all the way along the process. Tennessee has screwed this up from start to finish, and I wouldn't expect them to stop now. So if this were to stick in the regulations, it wouldn't be particularly surprising. Just about the only thing that Tennessee has done that will be at least an interesting experiment is going completely mobile because there are no casinos. So it's online only in the state. Pretty much everything else is garbage when it comes to Tennessee. They screwed up the tax rate. They screwed up the way they were doing the amount of operators. Not quite as badly as Illinois, but Tennessee definitely comes in the number two spot for worst bills in 2019.
the only thing about Tennessee, Dustin, that we were saying that we that was at least somewhat that we were looking forward to was just the fact that it was a state that doesn't have actually any casinos and they were just allowing online only. So at least they took that step. But past that, it seems like everything else has been kind of a head scratcher.
Yeah, it's like Adam said, not been great at all. Yeah, the open online part of it is by far the best part of it. Not tying it to brick and mortar locations like almost every other state is doing. We do know also the person who's going to be in charge of it for the lottery, somebody we know we've been associated with from Nevada and UNLV who really understands the gaming industry. Jennifer Roberts is going to be involved. So that also that gives me hope that that Tennessee's regulations and how they monitor sports betting moving forward will actually be a little better than we had hoped.
So if you're listening out there and you have any influence in Tennessee, know if you push one leg of a parlay, it is not a loss. If you win the other side, that's not how that goes. So let's not do that. Let's get that changed for the good of your state in sports betting and stuff, because that's a bad customer experience for sure. No doubt about that. Guys, as always, head over to LegalSportsReport.com if you want the full written breakdowns of all the stories that we are talking about here on the podcast. And of course, we have that handy dandy map where you can track everything that's going on in every single one of the states across this great country of ours. And as we mentioned in the description below, we'll drop in that link to the revenue page if you want to see how everything has been broken down across the various states month by month. It is a really great resource, and be sure and take advantage of that if you're interested from there. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Thanks to all of the new listeners here. For Dustin, for Adam, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.
Go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Price and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.
Go through some emails, check your calendar, see that you have a 45-minute break in the day between meetings, realize this is your moment, so you drive right to McDonald's to pick up something extra delicious ASAP. Meal.
Thank you.
There's a meal for every moment at McDonald's.
Buy one of your select faves and get another for just a dollar every morning, like a sausage McMuffin or hash browns.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Price and participation may vary. Valid for product of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Combo meal valid when product served.